Hey, once again, it is Monday night, and it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop's special show tonight, because it's your chance to be on here. If you're in the chat room, or if you're on Facebook, or wherever it is, we're going to post the link to get on Zoom. All you have to do is click on the link and follow the instructions and put on your camera and your mic, and we'll be doing a fan roundtable. Plus, we got other stuff to talk about tonight. It's an important announcement, and lots of tech questions.
We expect them.
Yes.
And we want them. And we crave them. So give them, let them at us.
Yeah. All that coming up right now on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Two men. Twin sons from different mothers. With a passion for voiceover recording technology. And the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. All right. Hey. It's a fan roundtable tonight. And there's lots of people in our chat room. And if you look in the chat room, there is a link there.
There is.
And it says Zoom US J88 blah, 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 blah. If you click on that link, it will take you to a Zoom chat where you can have your camera on. And your microphone, but turn your microphone off or mute yourself when you come in, and we will unmute you. And what we want is your questions. We want your comments. We want your opinions on this show, as long as you keep it friendly.
It's true. This is not just about, you know, we want to answer tech questions, but just sort of a fireside chat about what VOBS is, what it should be, what it could be, and you know, maybe things we can do better. So
right.
It'll be fun. Just an open conversation tonight. Very informal.
Right. Now, we do have to do the news, and then we have a big, big announcement that everybody needs to hear.
We do.
And see. Well, they'll see us making the announcement they have to hear. Or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, gotta show you something I picked up at the flea market this week.
Let's
I love picking up old radios at the flea market.
Toys.
I found this guy. It's a 1956 Granco FM receiver. Yeah, with somebody, whoever had this, put an antenna on it.
This is the early days of component sound system gear. Remember when you
it
would buy just the tuner? You'd buy this, and there it goes. It's kicking.
Yeah,
it's. I hear it.
It floats in and out, but it does work.
Do you hear it out there? Just barely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with the way this thing worked, this before in the early days of radio, well, the early days of FM radio, radios didn't have an FM receiver on them. You had to buy a separate receiver. That's the tuner there. And there we go. Yeah.
Now we're going to get pulled down for a violation of copyright.
Yeah, really. Yeah, hopefully not. All right, good night.
You get the idea.
Yeah. Anyway, but this was a receiver that you would put on your, not necessarily your stereo, probably your hi-fi.
Your old hi-fi set.
Would had an auxiliary input into it, and there was your FM radio. I'll just push this antenna down.
The antenna width is like from my radio control car days from the 80s. We had that real long antenna.
Yeah, really.
If you were too ambitious, you'd press down and freak it right off.
Right.
You're all done.
All righty. Well, I figured I'd show that off.
That's
I love
fun.
To show. I mean, yeah, but the amazing thing was, is I'm like, where's the speaker? Oh, it's just a receiver.
It's literally
and I plugged it into the stereo this morning and turned them up. Holy, look at that. We can
awesome.
Listen to NPR on this thing.
My fun weekend experience was going down to La Jolla
Ooh.
And seeing my amazing, talented friend, Danielle Talamantes,
Ooh.
The accomplished soprano, sing with her husband, actually, Carrie. Carrie is a baritone,
mm-hmm.
and they sang The Messiah. Yeah, so it was the four of them doing,
wow.
you know, they had the soprano, alto, tenor, and baritone.
Wow.
And then maybe 150, 200 choir members.
Wow.
It was
orchestra?
Really cool. And a full orchestra.
Okay.
It was
not
really
cheap to put those things
no,
on.
No, it was an awesome experience. And, you know, they build it up so the soprano finally gets to come on stage
right.
after Jesus is born and everybody's
right.
all excited. And then she gets to sing. And she has experience singing at the Met in New York, the Metropolitan
yeah.
Opera. So her voice just was like a cannon compared to everybody. Like, it was so powerful.
Nothing is more amazing than professional opera singers, the best of the best. Great
we were all blown
them.
Away. Martha Kahn was with us,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she has sung a lot of these, and she was impressed. We were all blown away. What a fun weekend.
Alrighty, well, let's get the show on the road. It's now time for
Voice of a Body Shop presents the VOBS Voice Over Extra News. All the information you need for a successful voiceover career.
And here is the Voice Over Extra News for December 10th. Marketing Trends 2019. Well, here we go again, attempting to spot the trends for the year ahead, where everybody's apparently headed. And should you follow the herd? Well, two new articles on VoiceOver Extra are both alarming and comforting in this regard.
Let's start with the alarm. Voice actor and coach J. Michael Collins takes a look at the entire voiceover industry landscape and influenced by the release a few weeks ago of the Red Dead Redemption 2 video game, J. Michael sees our industry stuck in the early Wild West days. In that video game, he says law and order is more theory than fact, and those who don't keep their wits about them often find themselves in a pine box.
Well, the voiceover industry is a bit less cutthroat, he adds, and we tend to support each other rather than fire our Smith & Wessons into our competitors' backs. The black hat guys are easier to spot on our biz, too. Even so, he says, the evolution of the voiceover business bears a lot of resemblance to a world where there are few maps, fewer rules, and a lot of fool's gold.
From a union that's not addressing our concerns to an online casting free-for-all to gurus who range from being truly career-shaping to peddling snake oil, there's no one-size-fits-all answer to how to get ahead. Or maybe there is.
Well, keep your wits about you. J. Michael warns, stay ahead. And if you see the entire industry moving in one way, well, maybe take a look at what's down an opposite road, or at least off a side path.
And for now, comfort, some comfort at least, from Natasha Marchuvka, as she has been looking at trends and with an eye toward what marketing gurus and advertisers are predicting for 2019. Not surprisingly, she says there will be increased spending on digital video advertising. Yet much of her research points to this conclusion. For Natasha, she says, everything I've cumulatively learned over the years still applies.
Well, for instance, in marketing and all your business endeavors, be professional, be brief, be remarkable. Diversify your revenue stream. Be authentic. It's the foundation of your brand and your message. And stay relevant. So, shall we sum up? Change is always in the air, but you already know what to do. Check out the details in these articles now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
Indeedy, yes, indeedy.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. And now it's time for a big announcement. After much consternation, and I believe that's the right word, and George and I decided that, you know, we have been doing this show for almost 8 years.
8 years in March.
Almost every Monday night, give or take 10 or so Mondays a year.
Right.
We've been doing this show. It's not easy to do. We work hard at it every week, starting on Friday night sometimes. And we bring it to you here on Monday night, every Monday night. What we've decided to do, in order to make our lives just a little bit easier.
Lives and things that rhyme with lives.
Right. We won't say what. We are going to change format a little bit. And first off, we're going to start doing the show every other week, starting January 7th.
As a live show.
As a live show.
As a live show.
We're going to do a live show every other Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the week following that, in the empty week, we're also going to send out different versions of the show the prior week, where we'll send out just the interview and just the tech part.
Right.
So there'll be much more tech, which is the other format change we're going to make. We're going to start doing a lot more tech at the top of the at the second half of the show.
Right. For those that are there live.
Right.
You'll see the interview first.
Right. With our guest.
With our guest. And that's going to start an hour earlier.
At 5 p.m. Pacific.
Right.
Or 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central.
Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock Eastern.
8 o'clock
Prime Eastern. Time, baby.
Yeah.
So that way our guest gets to come in, get their interview going.
And then beat the traffic out.
Be free to leave.
And be home for dinner.
Makes it an easier night for the guests. We'll be able to get better guests. We'll be having fewer, so it's sort of a balance of quality, quantity kind of thing, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it's going to really step things up, I think. But
yeah.
Then, you know, after the guest is gone, we're going to just focus on tech. And we'll be able to talk tech freely for, well, we'll see for how long.
That's
right. We may extend that section of the show. We'll see.
Right. Which means we need your questions.
That's right.
We want your participation. We're going to need your questions to drive what it is we do, because George and I can talk about just about anything.
Yeah.
But if someone asks a question, we can go on ad infinitum.
For days.
Or ad nauseum, depending on...
Ad nauseum.
on that. Plus, another thing we want to do is we want to start offering you some really premium content, and that is... paid webinars, things that you want to know about, real specific things that, you know, specific subjects that we teach, and we do incredible webinars here in the VoiceOver Body Shop studio. We want your input on what you'd like to see, and we'll have paid webinars that you'll be able to get the recording of, and you'll be able to create your own library of VoiceOver Body Shop webinars.
Yeah, they're going to happen right here in-house, and... we'll be able to keep a pretty constant schedule of content coming to you guys.
Trying to do it once a month.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to survive into 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe our first guest of 2019 is nobody important. Tara Strong is scheduled to be with us. And we have Larry Davis. And we're going to really push to get the big people on here. And that means some big-time agents, big-time stars, big time casting directors,
influencers, social media experts, right.
And the people who can help you make your business, your voiceover business, succeed better.
Yeah.
So that's the big announcement.
That's what we're planning.
So you're all going. No.
Maybe not that big a deal to some, but it allows us to bring you guys the really quality content. We really want to stay focused on quality for 2019.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. One more little piece of housekeeping.
Yes.
We want to do a fan roundtable tonight.
That's right.
That means we need your input and your participation. We've been putting the Zoom link in there. How many people do we have in the Zoom right now?
We've got a good number, actually. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Outstanding.
So we got a good number of queuing.
We can go to gallery view and do the Brady Bunch there for a little bit. Anyway, we're going to get to your questions and your comments and your thoughts right after these incredibly important messages.
This is Kat Cressida as Diddy from Dexter's Laboratory, and this is VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS, BS.
Wow, this is VOBS?
Ooh,
I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bean old body shop.
Hey, look, if you're on our mailing list, George and I have now sent you to 3 lessons in the voiceover booking blblueprint. And David H. Lawrence the 17th told us he's now going to put it back into storage. But first, he's got one more lesson for you. It's about you moving forward. And he's going to talk about 2 big elephants in the room. And towards the end of the lesson, he'll give you the details about his brand new VO2 GoGo Pro Complete voiceover training. And the registration for that opened up yesterday morning. Here's where you go. https://vo2gogo.com/2019/r/31. Yeah, it's a lot to learn, but it'll be recorded. And we'll have it in the chat room.
Play it back.
Also, David just added a new Kickstart bonus only for those who register in the first 48 hours. It started yesterday and ends tomorrow morning, Tuesday, at 9 a.m. The bonus is an exclusive private afternoon online session designed to accelerate your voiceover success in voiceover. And will be open to you, only to you, if you act quickly. Once again, it's vo2gogo.com/2019/r/31. All right. As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what. And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, doing it live to drive.
That's right.
Because we're too lazy to edit this thing. Instead, we have somebody else do it. Anyway, we'd like to get you on Zoom. And if you have a question to ask, write the question down in the chat room.
On the VOBS.TV chat room.
VOBS.chat room.
That way we'll know that you want to be heard. And
that's
then we
right.
can go to you and bring you on with that's your camera and your sound.
That's right. So if you have a question and you want to ask it, we want you to ask it on cam.
Yeah.
So while you're doing that, we have a quick question.
A couple of Facebook questions.
Yeah, that were thrown in early. John Badilla wrote to us. He said, is there a good tutorial for Audacity 2.3.0? And further, does the punch and roll feature mean what I hope it means for simplifying the streaming VO narration audiobook recording? Please help. I think you both have done tutorials on Audacity. I know George did one on Twisted Wave, so did I, and I benefited from them. I'm a somewhat long in the tooth VO guy hoping to restart some semblance of a business, having dropped out of sight for a couple of years, though I realize the world has radically changed since I was a very busy freelance performer. Mm. Well, gosh, as I told him when he first wrote to us, it's like, well, you could always read the manual. Because, boy, there are a lot of details in there.
Yeah.
But you've done a webinar on Audacity. I've done one on Audacity. You can get them over at VoiceOver Extra.
Yeah. I'm kind of outdated on Audacity's new punch and roll.
Perhaps that should be one of the first ones we do as a VOBS webinar.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I know there are a couple people who teach classes in it. I know Larry Hudson teaches one in Audacity.
And David H. Lawrence of VO2GoGo is big on Audacity.
He's certainly for audiobooks.
I would think if anybody would be jumping on the punch and roll method, it would be David H. Lawrence, because he has been teaching his own variation on punch and roll recording using what he calls his stair step method or something like that for a long time. So I would imagine he's probably adapting it or at least learning how to use it. So it's going to come. We're just not on top of it quite yet. It's just too new.
Yeah. Also, Osan Audio has Punch and Roll, which works even easier than an Audacity.
Yeah, we've been using the Audacity or the Osan Audio Punch and Roll function for quite a while with success. So it's to come. I would imagine it was done with a lot of the voice actors in mind, because there's an Audacity Facebook group, and a lot of the features are coming out of that group. The requests for features like the Punch and Roll.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of ways. Is there Punch and Roll in Audacity? I certainly haven't.
Version 2.3.
2.3.
Yeah, that's what he was. That's
okay.
Right. That just came out with Punch and Roll. Yeah. That's the newest thing.
Yeah. Try it and go out and play.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to go to some questions and some comments and thoughts from our voluminous audience all across the Fruited Plain and various other places?
Let's see what's in the queue.
I think JDK has the first question.
JDK. And is JDK in there?
He is. JDK.
All right. I'm going to start by. Oh, he's already unmuted.
Okay.
And let me glue his camera so we can see it.
All right.
Spotlighting JDK.
There he is, man of 1,000 children.
Thank you very much. That is me. And they just keep popping up. I have a simple question for you, and I know George has the answer because I know he uses one of these. I have a Yamaha AG03. And I repeatedly, I turn it off when I'm not using it, but it's solid state, and I was wondering if I could just leave it on.
Actually, Dan uses one or did for a very long time.
Right. We're using the AG03. It's now part of our audio chain here.
It is. It's part of the production system now.
Yeah. Do you turn it on or turn it off?
I turn it off when I'm not using it, but it's solid state. Can I just leave it on?
If it's solid state, some guys never do that. But it doesn't have tubes in it. Like this guy. No, you can just leave it on. I left it on for like 3 years.
It's gonna reboot every time the computer reboots,
right?
Or every time you shut the computer off, it will turn off because it's getting its power from the computer. So unless you leave your computer on 24/7 all the time, then it will not get restarted. So, but it doesn't harm it, and it shouldn't hurt it either to leave it on all the time. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. That's my question. Thanks, guys.
Hey, man. Thanks for chiming in.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
All right. One down.
Yay, it worked.
Yeah. Dave Smith. Let's see. Dave Smith. Is he in there?
Dave's was through Facebook, so he's not in the actual video chat.
Okay.
Tonight.
But we'll ask his question.
Yeah, we'll do it anyway.
Okay. He says, I also have an AG03.
Awesome. It's popular. Probably because we talked about it so much.
It's a great unit. Yeah. When being Skype directed, is there a way to use the loopback feature, or do I have to go with the Soundflower audio jack route? Well, that's the whole point, is that you can loop back using the loopback feature. There's that little switch on there. It says channel 1, 2, and then I can't remember what the second one is. And then the bottom one, it's loop. And if you put it into loop, there's a little dial that you turn the whatever is coming back from the computer on. And you can play back stuff to who's ever listening, and you can turn up the sound from them as well.
Right.
And so, no, that was the whole point of the AG03 and the AG06, is that you didn't need Soundflower. It did all the routing itself.
Right. It works for playback. That's what it's good for. It doesn't mix minus. And what that means is once loopback is on, you're sending the Skype caller to themselves. So you only want to turn it on loopbacks for when you want to do the playback. As soon as you're done with the playback, turn it back to dry 1-2 or mix mode. Don't leave it on loopback because it could cause some weirdness in the Skype feed. But yeah, that should do it for you.
All right. Let's we need to see if somebody has questions. They're there. Why don't we just go to somebody random and see what they have to say?
Well, I mean, we asked them to put it in the chat, and Jack's mining the chat. So let's keep this pattern going with Kurt.
Okay.
Bonham, who says, coming to you from my newly built home studio, wondering about power conditioners and how important it might be to have one and where in my chain to put it. Now, Kurt is actually in the chat, so I didn't have to read that out loud. So now he gets to read it to us.
And I think he had a follow-up question as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to unmute him now and spotlight his video.
And there he is.
Okay, fire away, Kurt.
Hey guys.
Answer it in your or ask the question in your own words.
Yeah.
Now that I've done it.
Yeah, well, I've just like I said, I just got into my new studio, and of course I want it to be as perfect as possible and sound as good as it possibly can. I don't know if I need it or not, but I'm just wondering how important a power conditioner might be. I hear a lot of talk about it, and I'm also wondering, if I was to get one, where in my power chain would I put it? Because I have my computer outside.
So, Kurt,
something else.
Kurt, will you do us a favor? Are you using a USB audio device for the...
I'm using an interface.
Is it USB?
This is the thing I'm wondering.
It just fell apart. Yeah. It sounds absolutely horrendous.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
It sounds fine to me.
You sound good to you, but to us it sounds very crunchy. Yeah. So I was just asking if you could unplug and replug
it, plug back the USB interface.
Let me do that.
It's amazing how this fixes things. Now, watch this. It's amazing.
Let's see what happens. That is, as long as Zoom reconnects to the interface.
Right.
Zoom may go, I'll use another input, and then he'll...
All right, double-check the input on
his
there.
Audio. But anyway, to answer the question, because I think we got the idea.
Yeah.
A power conditioner, I'll tell you, they are all over the map in terms of price. I mean, some of them are like $50. Some of them are way over $1,000.
I picked up one at a garage sale about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's right over there.
Yeah.
And it saved my tuchus last week.
How? What did it do?
There was a power surge.
Yeah.
And everything just went off. I'm like, oh no, my power conditioner, because I tried to turn the power conditioner back on and it wouldn't allow it to turn on. It was saying it was 130 volts.
Oh, there was an over, yeah. So you had an overvoltage coming
right,
in.
Right, it was an overvoltage and it wouldn't start up.
Yeah.
And so we had to go outside, turn off the solar system, turn off everything.
Wow.
And then rebooted it and then it came back on.
Really?
So contacted, wow. I contacted LADPW,
mm-hmm.
that's the power company here in LA, and said, what happened? And they're like, every time we are fixing or doing some maintenance, sometimes there'll be a power surge in a neighborhood, and that's what you experienced.
Okay. So I think your question is dutifully answered. A power conditioner is probably a good idea.
Oh, it's always a good idea.
If at the very, very least, have a proper surge suppressor. There's power strips out there. They're not all going to be surge suppressors. It has to have a joules rating to be a surge suppressor. But the next step up is a power conditioner, which does what Dan's unit did, which is protect your equipment from over voltage. And the better ones have filtering to try to clean the power before it comes into your studio.
It has a little broom in there. Sweeps it.
And the ones up from there have a voltage regulator that can take whatever voltage is coming in, whether it's high or low, and level it back out again. And they get more and more fancy from there. At the very least, surge suppressor for sure have that. At the very least.
Yeah, I mean, not just a power bar, but a power conditioner. And where do you put it in your chain? You plug this plug into the wall, and you plug everything else into that.
Yeah, it is the first thing in the chain. Now, if you have a UPS, most UPSs, those are the big battery backup systems, that is also a power conditioner and surge suppressor in most cases. If it has something called AVR, I look for ones that have that feature. I like my power UPSs to have AVR and true sign. So what that means is, if the power is a little high or a little low, it automatically corrects it. Mm-hmm. That's automatic voltage regulation. If the power drops below the threshold, then the inverter kicks on inside and starts running on the battery. When it runs on battery, though, sometimes you get a really bad buzz. And so if it has true sine wave technology, true sine, or pure sine, that means the power coming off the battery will be clean. So couple little buzzwords to look for if you go shopping.
Yeah. Mine's an old Monster that was, you know, from Monster Cable. And it's designed for, you know, VCR, CD, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
But it's powering my computer and powers everything in here. And thank God it saved me. It
saved your butt, huh?
It did. Nothing like a bad power surge.
Wow.
You know, and I thought, oh, no, my computer is gone. No, it just, because it wouldn't reboot. Like, come on, reboot. And like, oh, that's saying 130, 129 volts.
It's cool. Yeah, that display If it didn't have that display, it would have made it really hard to figure out.
Right.
You wouldn't have known that the voltage coming in was out of whack.
Which is why I have
one. Yeah, there you go. So and that's another thing to look
50
for.
$50 at a garage
sale. If you're looking for one, look for one that has a display that shows the voltage on it. Another thing to look for. They don't all have that.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess we could take a break, right, and queue up a few more.
Yeah, that's right. But I like his blue microphone.
I do. I do, too. Is it working?
No, he has to reset it.
I think Zoom lost connection with his audio. That happens.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out more about that mic after the break, Kurt, because that's
I think it's a sock.
I don't know what's going on with that mic. It's pretty interesting. I want to know more.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Get your questions into the chat room. We want to talk to you. You watch the show all the time. I bet you have a billion questions, but we also want your comments, your thoughts on the show, what you'd like to see, and, you know, you get your little soapbox to say what you want, I guess. Anyway, coming right up here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Make sure you put your question in the chat room. But George is now looking back at the chat room to see what questions are on there. I know we got one from Paul Stefano.
Yeah. Let's throw to Paul.
Paul.
We know his as well.
And now taking you live to Paul Stefano Studio.
You're on, Paul.
Sorry, I had to unmute. How you doing, guys?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So I had this tech tip I got from another engineer slash talent, and I'm worried I might have conflated the information he gave me. So the gist is that there's a way to use compression during onboard processing in place of a gate or expander and sort of mimic the effect that a gate would have, but more subtly. And I've been using it first on the Apollo, the Universal Audio Apollo I have, and then also on the AG06. And it seems to do what I wanted to do. It mimics a gate, but it's not as harsh, and it doesn't cut off the ends of phrases as harshly
as a gate
as you would think.
Yeah.
So, have you heard of this? Is this something that actually works, or am I just imagining it?
I've never heard of something that's just an actual compressor, which takes a signal that comes in, once it crosses a threshold, reduces the volume. I've never heard of a compressor doing that. I've heard of an expander. Which
right.
is sort of the opposite of a compressor. And there's also processing plugins that do both. For example, like in Twisted Wave, the AU Dynamics processor has both compression and expansion. It's got both ends of the spectrum. Audition has it too.
Yeah, it's got a preset that says noise gate.
Yeah, Audition has it too.
Light gate, medium gate, you know, heavy, that sort
right.
of thing.
And, you know, gating, of course, is once the signal drops below the threshold, it just disappears. It's like turning off a switch. Usually a bad thing. We don't really never want to do that. But a compressor that can behave like an expander gate, that's not something I'm familiar with. So maybe the plug-in you're talking about has that feature built into it? I don't know.
Well, I'm actually just using the onboard processing, the DSP processing for the AG03/AG06, the Yamaha.
Right, which is only a compressor.
Right.
It's only a compressor, as far as I know. But it does seem to do what I expected it to do.
And what do you expect it to do again?
Like I said, I'm using it to mimic the function of an expander. And I just turn up the attack on and the release both to a really fast number.
Yeah.
And it does limit some of the background noise that I have issues with.
Right. Well,
I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
That completely doesn't make any sense.
I know. we'll have to play around with that and take a look and see.
That's a trick I heard from another engineer, and he was using it with the Manly VoxBox plugin on the Apollo.
Oh, well.
Did the same thing there. But again, I was only using the compressor feature of that particular plugin, and it does seem to do what he said it did.
I'd have to see an on camera, an on screen cast showing.
I'll make you a video.
Yeah, like a video of what's going on, and then showing and seeing, letting me hear the result to better understand it. Because it's kind of like saying I'm using a can of blue spray paint to paint my street red. And if I do it just right, it comes out red. Like, I don't understand how to do it. So I'm curious.
All right, maybe I'll create something and send it to you.
Awesome. That would be awesome, man.
Right. Yeah.
Now, thanks.
Yeah. Kurt Bonham also was confused about the loopback feature.
Okay.
He says, I'm confused about what loopback is, and now I know I have it on my new Persona Studio 26.
Ooh, okay. Well, yeah, well, I mean, every piece of gear is going to have a loopback feature that works differently from each other, right?
But essentially what it does is it allows you to play the audio from your computer, from the main core audio,
right,
back out the other way.
Right, exactly.
So
it's a pure loop. And that's not always if you're recording in Pro Tools or some kind of multi-track system where it's monitoring what you're recording all the time, that will create a horrendous feedback loop, right? Because you're recording the Pro Tools output back to itself. So if you do that function, make sure that your track is muted in your software. That will prevent a horrible feedback loop. So software like Twisted Wave or recording in waveform mode in Audition, there is no monitor loop. There's no monitor system that's automatically engaged that's monitoring the input. Ah. So you don't have to worry about that problem happening.
Yeah. You know what you forgot to do?
Yeah, what's that?
The source element spot.
You're darn right. I'll have to catch it on the next break. Or should I just do it now, like right in the middle?
Ladies and gentlemen, representing Source Elements, Mr. George Whittam.
Okay. Well, this is the best way to do an ad. I mean, they're going to love this because it's right in the middle of the show. People won't think to skip it. If you are a voice actor, or if you're a studio recording voice actors, why don't you already have Source Connect? You probably should have at least a working demo of Source Connect. And this is a way to connect your studio to any voice actor or any studio as a voice actor on the internet and get super high quality, high bandwidth audio with very low latency anywhere that you need to record it. And this is really a tool that's become mainstream now in the world of voice acting and studio production. It's very commonly found these days, and it's definitely taking over for the likes of ISDN. It's very reliable and it's affordable. You don't have to buy it up front. You can get it as a monthly license rental now if you like and pay installments, whatever works for you. But if you do want to get it set up, you can get a free trial right now over at source-elements.com. Sign up. You do have to have an iLock account, but that's free. You don't have to have an iLock USB key. And if the whole iLock thing is mystifying to you, don't worry. I actually produced a tutorial on how that thing works for Source Elements. It's on the website. Thanks a lot for sponsoring the show, Source Elements. Go check out Source Connect and tell them that we sent you. We appreciate it. All right. So what else we have going on?
We have another question now.
All right.
And this one is from, let me see if I can remember who that was. Ah, Kendall Campbell. Is Kendall Candle Campbell? Ken Campbell. Is he in there? He is there. Put
or she in this case.
Tongue twister.
Hey there. Let me put you up on camera. Let's see. Yeah. Do you have your camera connected, Kendall? Or do you want to go cam tonight?
I'm going to go incognito tonight.
No problem.
You can, okay. You can be audio tonight. It's fine.
But you sound great.
Yes. You sound good. You sound good.
Well, thank you. I Fire have an image up there. So you can kind of guess what I look like. Hey, so I am one of those odd ducks and I'm a Pro Tool user. I use Logic Pro. It doesn't have to be specified towards this, but I have certain things that I want to keep my breaths in, but I don't want them to be as loud as they are because it just makes it sound more natural. How do I lower the volume of said, that little bit of that breath while not affecting the rest of the volume?
Ah, I got a great answer for that one. Awesome. Depending on what kind of stuff, are you doing like audiobooks or just all sorts of stuff?
All sorts of stuff, you know, just, yeah. really a smattering of different things.
All right. Well, the best way to get rid of breasts, you remember, you've got three options when it comes to dealing with breasts. Four if you like, you want to use software. I tend to believe that first, be careful with your breaths. Plan them out very, very carefully so that you are, will you read ahead and you're like, I can take a breath here, I can take a breath there. Make sure you're in good physical condition and that you can read an entire sentence without taking a breath.
Yeah, random breaths are really hard to deal with.
Yeah,
when they pop up in the middle of a phrase or
right.
That kind of thing.
Sometimes a breath, say in an audiobook, might be something very dramatic and it actually needs to be in there. But if you take a loud breath in the middle of a paragraph or something like that, you could either just silence it, which nobody recommends, because then it, you know, if you've got any background noise or something,
room tone,
there's nothing. The best way to deal with that is to highlight the breath, which looks like an egg on your waveform, and take it down 15 dB. It makes the breath sound far more natural, and it doesn't cause any other problems. You're not lowering the audio anywhere else. You're simply lowering that one particular breath. Yeah, you have to go through the entire copy to do that. In Twisted Wave, you could probably do it using a breath finder or the silence finder and stuff, and then take all of those down 15. But you really have to look at each individual breath because there are different volumes and in different places. And so, but highlighting it, taking it down 15 dB usually is a really effective way to do that. And it doesn't involve anything really sophisticated.
Yeah. Now, because you're on Pro Tools, there's some fun things you can do too.
Yeah,
you could lay on a track that's nothing but room tone. So record 30 seconds of really good room tone. Make sure there's no random noises in there. And what you're going to do is you're going to loop that. Now, I don't know. There's probably a production person on Pro Tools that knows how to loop something very easily. I think it might be pretty easy to do in Pro Tools. But you need to have a really long piece of room tone, longer than any chapter on your book. And you can have that on a track. So that room tone is just always there, right? Now, leaving your Pro Tools in not shuffle, but slip mode, now you can go through and mute things you don't want. And the nice thing is that when that mute occurs, the room tone is still there because it's on another track. So that's another way you could do it. It's kind of a interesting hack. And people think, wait a minute, if I'm adding room tone behind my voice that has room tone, isn't the room tone going to get louder? But it doesn't work out that way. Actually, that white noise just sort of masks the other white noise, and it doesn't actually create worse room tone as a result. So you'll have to experiment with how loud the room tone should be. You have to listen to it and adjust the level, but give that a shot. I've heard of people saying that works for them. So
many roads to Rome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for your question.
Yeah, if you got another question, put it in the chat.
Fire away.
Right. I know, let's see here. There was a question here from, I know Fred's voice was looking to get on here.
Did he ask one earlier?
He says he has a question.
Not in the video chat.
He's not in the video
chat.
But
if you have a question, we'll answer it.
No question. Just a comment on how helpful you are on the show.
Oh.
I don't want to take up anyone else's time. We got lots of time, Fred. If you got a question, get in there. But we appreciate that.
I'm scrolling back through the chat room to see if there's any others that we missed along the way. Which that was actually about how to join the show. Apparently, there's confusion about which is the Zoom room. I don't think there's not more than one Zoom room. We posted the link a few times.
Yeah. Well, Doug is in there. We haven't talked to Doug in eons. Is Doug on? And
let's just throw to Doug.
Yeah.
Let's see if he's in there. Nope, Doug. You know what? True to form, Doug wants to be behind the scenes.
I asked a question. Is there any way I can get some help?
Yeah, go for it. Let us have it.
I actually did post this. So this is a Manly reference microphone, and I don't know if you guys can help me or not, but Manly wants me to send this thing and the cable and power supply to them in California. I've got a phase problem. It's out of phase, and it was fine. Good microphone, $2,700 now.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you're going to charge me to repair this thing, but I can tell you now, I'm sure it's a lot.
What's wrong?
And so it's out of phase. So I have a Sennheiser a 416 shotgun mic going into a Manly Vox box. Everything's fine, but when I hook up this guy now to it, it's out of phase and sounds really hollow. And I don't know how much you're going to charge me. You know, I don't know why it's like that, but it was fine.
It was fine, and then it switched phase?
Just it's out of phase. It's very hollow now.
Well, that's bizarre. That's the thing. When you buy boutique handmade equipment, it's kind of like buying a high-end sports car. You know, it's they're the only one. Actually, let's put it this way. This is analog gear.
Yeah.
You don't have, they're not the only ones that could fix it, but they're the ones that you know can fix it. I mean, there are mic shops all over town.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to anybody else. I mean, I'm going to send it to California, but I didn't know if anybody here that's, part of this, session had any ideas or, experiences that might be similar to where, you know, hey, we know it's the mic or we know it's the cable, you know, cause I, at this point, I don't know. I changed the tube. It didn't fix itself. I put another, I got the shotgun, the Sennheiser 416 going into the Vox box. Fine. So I just don't get it. And it's a good mic. It sounds so good. Listen, that's the main reason everybody talks about that Sennheiser 416 shotgun mic, which is a good mic.
Mm-hmm.
But I cut some imaging with it over the weekend, and then I went back and listened to some stuff up against this Manly, and it blows it out of the water. So I need to get this fixed. I just didn't know if you had any experiences with regard to how much it might cost to get this thing fixed, because it's Christmas, and I don't really want to spend all that money.
Yeah, I have never heard of anything like that happening, nor have I ever had to have anything serviced by Manly. I've self-serviced one of their preamps where it was just a bad tube.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more than a bad tube, you know, it's hard. I can't possibly tell you what it's going to cost.
But they're a good family-owned company. And,
yeah.
I'm sure they take good care of their customers. And, and you've talked to the engineers there or talked to some of the service people there?
I did. You know, Paul is their main engineer. He's really great. I'm friends with Ivana on Facebook. And, you know, they all, you know, I mean, I think... when I got into a conversation with Vanna about it, she thought, because she was trying to walk me through what to do, is I think she thought I bought it and it was like that, but it wasn't. It was fine.
I think you even stumped Ivana.
I've got to send this thing to California. Can't wait.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. That's a real bummer, especially when you decide that it's the mic for you. And now you can't use it. That is a drag.
Yeah, I can tell you now that the difference between that and that 416 will blow you away. When it goes into that Vox box, I didn't realize it was that huge, but it's that big, guys.
Yeah.
Really,
that was the Don LaFontaine mic. So.
Yeah.
Yes, it was in a world.
Yeah. But a 416 is pretty good. Actually, somebody asked me this morning. A good friend of ours.
Thanks for your question.
Yeah, so we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Was talking about what would be a good road mic to have that's not a 416 but a shotgun mic. And he said, you had mentioned the AT875R.
Mm, okay.
And while it's a good mic, is it a 416? Certainly
not.
It's
good for the money.
But it's good for money. It's a lot lighter. It's a lot cheaper.
I call it a stunt mic.
Yeah.
You're not so worried about it getting broken or lost.
Which makes it a great road mic.
Yeah.
So
there are mics between the AT875R and the 416 that maybe are a little bit more 416 like. In fact, one mic that we've been talking about on my podcast, the Pro Audio Suite, is the Rode NTG3. No, strike that. Rode NTG4, not the 3. The 3 does not sound like a 416, but the Rode NTG4 does. And when you turn on its high boost function, it sounds a lot like a 416. It's about $300.
Yeah.
So that's a nice alternative.
Still cheaper than a 416.
Quite a bit. Another stunt mic option.
I use a 416 in my studio, and I had to do a project today that was to replace some slides on something from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now that would have been in my studio in Buffalo. And I'm like, gosh, what mic did I use on that? You really should write these things down. I'm doing using the 416. Yeah, but I didn't see it here from this client for 4 years. And I jumped into my new booth here with the 416. Could not tell the difference without any processing, without anything. God, it sounds exactly the same. So I must have used a 416.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Anyway, we want your questions. We got lots of time here and we got lots of bandwidth. And we want you on Zoom and we want to hear your questions. So throw them in the chat room and Jack will get it to us. And we'll take a break right now and get more of your stuff. And especially if you have any comments on the show, we'd love to hear those too. So we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the home studio master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. All right. One of the people that's been with us since show one is Harlan Hogan. And one of the great things he has is his signature series products, the VO1A microphone, which I know a lot of people are using.
Yeah.
And it's a great microphone and a great price point.
Proven track record.
Right. And if you go over to voiceoveressentials.com, you'll see that. But you'll also see something that Harlan is very proud of. Yeah. And you are wearing them now. These are the new Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones version 2.0.
The 2.0 headphones. I've been using the 1.0 headphones for, well, since they came out pretty much. We've been using them in the studio here. And these take that idea and just tweak it a bit. You know,
right.
They have the same general shape, but he's improved some of the materials. The headband is softer, which, trust me, you wear a headphone for a few hours, you appreciate it. It's more comfortable to wear. The ear pads are a little deeper, and so they don't press on my pinna, this part of the ear.
That's your pinna.
This is a very sensitive part of the ear. Headphones that press on that, for me, are not fun to wear for a long time. These I can wear for a long time, and their sound has changed a bit, too. So the first ones were very smooth and just had almost a flat, dull sort of top end. These, he brought the top end back a bit more. I'd say these sound a little bit more, maybe more familiar to people that use the Sony headphones or the Audio-Technica headphones. Not as harsh as the Sony's or bright, but it's kind of a nice Goldilocks. I hope to compare them against some other favorites of mine in the future. But
yeah.
Great cans.
Yeah, really nice. I listened to them. They clearly were a little louder.
A little higher output.
A little more, a little more present.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they're still really, really flat.
Yeah, they're not hyped. They're not overly bright or overly boomy.
There's no color to it.
They're
it's what hyped. It is what you sound like, which is why they're designed the way they are.
They come with this nice bag.
Yes, and it also has a great feature. If you happen to walk away still wearing your headphones, it has this little thing that pops out. It's just a sub mini plug, and it plugs right back into the headphone, and that will save you, you know, because soldering those things is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. There are other headphones that have detachable cable, but most of them, the cord goes in and twists and locks in place. So, yeah, they're detachable, but you'll still damage something. With this, it will actually pop out. But they chose to make it a very tight fit. It doesn't slip in easily. It really, like, listen, it goes.
Ah.
It makes a very solid click when you plug it in. So
outstanding.
Nice job, Harlan.
Yeah.
Good job on the revision, I have to say.
All right. And where do you get them? VoiceOverEssentials.com. And the best place to get yourself there is, after the show is over, go down to the bottom of our homepage here and click on the picture of Harlan Hogan talking into his vaunted Portabooth Pro, and that will take you right there. Let him know that Georgia and Dan sent you there. Thanks, Harlan.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
VOBS.TV.
We are back. At least I thought we were. Good crowd in Zoom, and they got lots of questions. Why is that?
The audio went off when I switched it on.
Okay, take it again.
And take two. And we're back here on Voice Over Body Shop, and we see that we have a large crowd in the Zoom room.
Awesome.
Along with our chat room.
Flooding in.
And we love getting those questions. And so let's get back to those. Let's go to Dennis Oberhofer. Dennis, are you there?
I'm unmuting his mic.
Come in, Pittsburgh.
I am.
There you go.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Oh, nice hat. Obviously someone in the Northeast.
Yeah, the bomber hat.
And in his backyard.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in my garage, actually. My booth is a converted sauna that I actually have in my garage.
Nice.
Which is also,
that is cool.
Also, I hope to show you my booth soon. After I've completed my revisions.
Clearly turn the heat on in there. Get the sauna going to get warm yourself up a little bit.
I do, actually, and the rest of the garage is quite cold. It's also the only place my wife will let me smoke cigars. So,
holy cow. What's up tonight?
Well, I met you guys at Uncle Roy's Barbecue, which was awesome.
It was.
Meeting you guys as well as the barbecue. So thanks, Uncle Roy. And, yeah, I actually have a couple of questions for you. Number one is I finally picked up a 416, which was, you know, kind of on my dream list, and figured I'd evaluate it and see how it sounds with my voice. And I'm loving it. I'm loving everything about it. And I've watched several times, George, your Edge Studios bit on where to position microphones, oh, such yeah. as this.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes the 416. And I'm finding that I actually have to get quite a bit of gain. You can see where it is here. I've positioned my Hero 4 so that you can see more of my booth here. So, you know, I've got the 6 inches here. And I'm at about 3/4 gain, which seems hot for a microphone like this.
What interface are you using?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. It's the Scarlett 2i2.
Ah, well, there's a little bit of a null zone in there at 3/4. You can take it up another half a notch or so, and that will give you that. That's really where the sweet spot is with that preamp. So if you take it up a little bit more, you're not going to be over. You're not going to be overdriving the preamp on it.
Yeah, I find it pretty. I've heard pretty common to go above 3 o'clock. Be 3 and 4 o'clock. Is that where you are now?
No, I'm at. I guess so. I'm at about 3.
That's it about right.
Yeah, you can take it up just a hair.
It just seemed pretty hot for
it's not.
This.
It's not.
Considering it starts at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most of these mic preamps built into the interfaces, they only have about 50 dB, 45 to 50 dB of gain. And to record voiceover, a speaking voice, you need 35 to 40 dB of gain. So that's going to be almost all the way up, 3/4 of the way. So not unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I was worried about that. It actually seems to be clipping a little bit now, but that's probably because I'm excited to talk to you guys. my second question, if I may,
please,
and a quick shout out to Mark Scott and his 12 Gifts of Christmas. If you guys haven't checked that out, I think I saw that some of you guys have your names on there.
Cool.
It's a really thing, and a bunch of people like Uncle Roy and others have donated gifts to that. So
nice.
I think that's a fabulous thing that folks should check out. Just a quick tip. So my other question is about, you can see my monitor here, and I've got it set up in portrait mode. I've got weak eyes.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
So it's, you know, my only regret is that it's not a touch screen. So, you know, that's next on my list.
Yeah.
I've set it up this way for a couple of reasons. One is it'll allow me to get my head up, still speaking toward the microphone without popping directly into it. I think it's good positioning in terms of where the copy should be, and allows me to manage my interface as well because it's got a lot of real estate. And I've angled it down a bit in an effort to try, and by the way, this is all Roxel. my interior treatments.
It sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
there,
it sounds
Dennis.
Pretty solid.
You know, on.
We're getting some glitchiness tonight, but I think that's a Zoom thing and nothing else. There's just some glitchiness.
I don't think it's my chain. My chain is pretty clean.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is more of a theoretical one in terms of what do you do with monitors? How reflective are they? I would imagine a lot because it's just a big sheet of glass. And, you know, is it better to tilt it down?
Yeah.
Tilt it up?
Actually, it's interesting that you should mention that because if you really put your finger on the monitor, you'll see that it's not glass. It's plastic. You see how it flexes a little bit? Because it does, it's not like a mirror. It's not like a hard piece of glass. It actually absorbs a lot of the sound, believe it or don't. And I've used a monitor in my studio for a long time. I decided to go back to paper, so I'm writing things down on my scripts again. But having a monitor, especially if you can't see. And so I'm going to assume that you have a vision problem and you like having those big, you know, the big letters in front of you to read. A monitor, if it's too close to the mic, it might cause a little bit of a comb filter, maybe.
Yeah.
But I have never noticed that before. And that the screens are not glass. And yeah, you can angle it a little away and bounce it up.
Just avoid the bank shot. So, you know, draw an imaginary line from your mouth to the screen, back to the mic. And just make sure that that screen is in such a way that it wants to reflect that sound right back at the mic. That just requires turning it slightly or slightly one way to the left or the right, maybe a little bit down, but whatever. I think that's clever there. You must be on Windows?
I am on Windows, yep.
Yeah, because I don't know if Mac can... Do you know if Mac can run monitors in vertical portrait mode? I've never tried it, but I should. That's a pretty cool idea, actually. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a cool use of that space. Big monitor in a small room.
Yeah.
And I've got the small monitor as well for the laptop. And so, you know, it's multiple monitors so I can keep my DAW down here. Okay. So I was mostly concerned with the reflection bank shot back into the mic, especially, you know, considering.
We're not hearing it too much here, at least.
No. We're not hearing much bass reflex or anything.
Plug for you guys. I'll be sending you a sample, either in a specimen cup or otherwise. I'll be sending it to one of you guys. I won't tell you which one for roll evaluating my sound. So
awesome.
I love your services, and I look forward to using them.
Thanks for tuning in, Dennis.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. All right.
Fred North has a comment.
About hockey pucks.
Hockey puck.
Having been a goalie, I don't like this question already.
Fred, are you there?
Fred, there's Fred North. We see him every week on the chat room, but now we see his face. You're on.
Well, first of all, shout out to the sponsor. Let me a little shout out to sponsors here.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Nice mustache, by the way.
Nice to meet you.
Who's there talking in the background? I think Dennis is probably still, his mic might still be open, so I'll go ahead and mute his.
Okay.
See if there's anybody else.
Nope.
Okay.
You're good to go.
Well, I'm a longtime viewer.
I think we're getting loopback. Do you have your show's audio feed still turned on, Fred?
I'm a longtime viewer, two-time show visitor.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fred.
My booth
Turn off the audio that you're listening to on your,
There, how's that? That better now?
Yes. Can you hear us now? And
do you hear us in real time?
On Zoom.
He may not hear us on Zoom. That could be a problem.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So ask your question.
I got you. You got me now?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You got me now?
I think you might be listening to the show on YouTube or Facebook, not on Zoom.
Okay. My booth is 7 feet by 5.5 by 7.5, 2x4 wall construction. Had some vibration from below.
Okay.
He's suffering from a major,
and,
major lag.
George suggested setting it on hockey pucks. Working great, George.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's working, man. Thanks, Fred.
I think the problem is I left my stuff on upstairs. I'm downstairs in my booth. So I'm going to get off here, and I'll watch the rest.
I'm glad it works. Okay. Thanks, Fred. Have a good night. Cool.
All right.
Paul Stevano has another thing about, is there a booth fan that's quiet enough? Let's go back to Paul. Paul, fire away, man. We're ready for you.
Hey, so yeah, I have a question about booth fans. I tried a few that I've built myself, one from a computer fan, one from a duct, inline duct fan, and yeah, both are still really too loud to record with.
Yeah.
Is there something that you know of that you can actually either turnkey solution that you buy off the shelf from a vendor, or something you've built that you know works quite enough to run while you're recording?
Yeah, well, you know, the computer fan, I mean, it depends. First off, when we're talking about ventilation in your booth, it's important to understand something, and that is the acronym CFM. Cubic feet per minute. What is the dimensions of your booth?
I'm in a 4x4 whisper room.
All right, 4x4 by 4 times
7 is 611.
So how many cubic feet is that, Mr.
Engineer? 416 times 7 is 770. About 120-ish cubic feet.
Okay. Yeah, most of these fans are rated at, you know, around 100 cubic feet per minute. If you've set up the ventilation system correctly, and you're changing the air in that booth every 2 minutes, you're not causing yourself any problems. So you don't need that much in draw, you know, from the fan to exhaust gas inside your booth as you think.
It needs to be a slow fan.
Right.
Where are you getting the 2 minutes from?
Because if you have a fan that's
20 cubic inch or cubic foot booth, and you have a fan that does 60 cubic feet per minute, then it takes 2 minutes to exchange the air.
The air in the booth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the accumulation of CO2, it's going to eliminate it. If you're drawing cool air from your office or from wherever, it's going to maintain the temperature in there.
Let me see that fan. Okay. So the problem is most of the fans that you buy are designed for too many CFM, and they're not designed to be totally silent. And the only way to get a fan to be quiet is for it to be really big and really slow. So, like, this is one that Dan happened to have laying around. This is a laptop cooler fan.
It's USB powered.
Yeah, it just lays underneath the laptop. When this thing's spinning, actually, let's see what it looks like. I venture to guess it doesn't spin all that fast. It's not a very good one, so you can hear it making some noise. But, oh, it doesn't want to be vertical, that's why.
Yeah.
It's spinning, I mean, I don't know the speed, but I'll tell you, it's not spinning very fast. And let's see if you can hear it. Let me hold it up to the mic. It'll blow air on the mic, but if it's a good one, it's not vibrating or rattling like this one is. Because it's so large, it doesn't have to spin all that fast. And because it's spinning slowly, it makes less turbulence and it makes less noise.
And that's really what's causing the noise is not the fan itself, unless you've got a really loud fan. And that is the movement of the air through the ducts.
Yeah, the velocity of the wind blowing through.
Right.
It becomes audible.
And what is the plenum that is drawing the air through like? You know, are you like isolating it with, you know, like, is it going like this? Do you have something inside the plenum that is deadening the noise as well?
Yeah, with the whisper room, they, you know, they're not using an axiom about size of duct to cubic feet per minute. The duct is on the small side. I think it's 4 inches. The VocalBooth.com Platinum, their high-end one, uses a 6-inch duct. And then they have a fan and a huge silencer unit outside the booth. Those things combined make for a really quiet ventilation system. I've been very impressed with what they're doing. But yeah, we have to find fans that we can slow down.
Right.
Or put a large fan like that on a box, just make a wood box and attach
I've actually done that now. I run mine. It's not a whisper room brand fan. I built it out of some dryer duct, and I do have a box outside, but the fan I'm using is spinning way too fast. So like I said, it's an inline duct fan. That's just a rocket ship.
Yeah, that's probably the opposite of what you want. You want a larger, slower moving fan, something that's maybe less than 1,000 RPM. You know, maybe not a very fast fan. Right. And do a little shopping online. I've done some shopping for computer case fans, and a little bit of research. You'll actually see some websites that give you DB ratings. CFM, Sohn's ratings and things like that.
Yeah, it's the rating they put on bathroom fans.
Yeah, you can find some information.
Essentially the same thing. Bathroom fans are a little louder because they really have to move a lot of air.
Yeah.
But you don't need that much cubic displacement of air as you think you do.
In a really small room. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, especially a really small room of 120 cubic feet.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Stefano?
It does. Thanks as always.
All righty.
Fantastic stuff.
All right. Jay Charles has a question.
Let's get Jay in there.
All right.
Gonna turn on his camera.
Jay.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can indeed, and we can see you.
We've had a good track record tonight so far with getting you guys on. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. And you?
Excellent. You guys? Very good.
Okay. Two questions. First, plus one on the giant size monitors. Got a big 55-inch 4K one right here.
Nice.
Got to be able to see.
Got to be able to see, you know, especially for me and my eyes. Question. Got a TLM-103 right here.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I sound clear and clean is when I'm straight on, straight in front of it.
I see.
I keep seeing videos of people who have it off to the side. What is the optimal precision for that?
Mm. Well, for the 103, all right, now I can pull this mic down just to a little bit, just to give it a slight idea of how you're, I know I'm making a lot of noise here. The 103, how bad is it if I'm doing this, you know?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay, good. All right. The 103, you really don't want to be talking too much off axis, but you also don't necessarily want to be talking directly in the diaphragm. And what you may think is clear may be what you'd like as clear. George and I have been talking to people about microphone placement for a good long time and how that is far more vital to how well your mic sounds as opposed to the actual model. Now, the 103 is a really great mic. And one of the reasons is it's extremely sensitive, meaning that you can back off of it and increase the gain and it's going to pick you up pretty well. My standard for mic placement generally is the bottom of the mic at the bridge of your nose and 5 to 7 inches away, about like that. And as you can hear, it sounds like I'm in the same room with you. This mic is going to pick you up like that. This mic has a very similar capsule to a 103. Actually, it's more like a U87 capsule. And
tell us more about your space, though.
Yeah.
How high is the ceiling above you?
We've lost his audio.
Sorry, that's me.
Okay. It was his fault.
Sorry. That was my fault. It's an old house, carpeted floor, not too high ceiling, maybe 8 to 10 feet. And there's a lot of equipment. There's about 3 computers sitting right over here. Would you believe I get about a negative 67 dB noise floor?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Because I don't have this gain turned all the way up. I just have it on the DBX2 86S using only the gate function on it because it's really good. It's the best I've heard so far.
Yeah, I wonder if because there's a large, large display not so far away from you, I wonder if when the mic is sideways, because the 103 has a wide pickup pattern.
Right.
And I'm wondering if when it's more sideways, you're getting a mixture of your sound off bouncing off that big screen with what's coming back, with what's coming out of your mouth. I that's just a total guess here. We would have to hear it.
What I feel like I'm missing is the high end.
Yeah.
I'm missing the high end when I'm off axis.
Well, that's true. The reason that happens is because as you go more off axis from the mic, you're attenuating the high end. You're making the mic less bright. In fact, I'm talking into the side of the U87 right now, and it sounds fine. It sounds okay. But as I start rotating the mic toward me, all of a sudden the top end comes back, and now I'm getting the brightness of the mic again. So that's when you're turning the mic sideways, that's what's going to happen. But you can still have the mic close to your mouth, but say have your mouth facing this way, and the sound of your voice is going this way, the plosives is going this way. But the mic is still pointing generally toward the mouth, and you should still get a pretty bright sound. It's still not going to be quite as sizzly sharp as when you're
directly
on the mic. So you may have to compensate a little bit with that. But at the end of the day, put the mic where it sounds good. Okay. Don't worry about what anybody else tells you. Put the mic where it sounds good in your studio with your voice and your setup, you know, because they're all going to be different.
Do you have time for another question?
Of course
yeah,
we
yeah,
do.
I think we got time.
Well, I apologize if this opens up a can of worms or sends you two off on tangents that will rile the days
of... Do you
have
your muscle. Can opener?
I do, as a matter of fact.
My can opener is over here.
But I need you to talk me down. There's been all sorts of rhetoric on the internet, and which is obviously a great place for it, as to which camp you're going to fall in. Are you going to be with the freelancers and the plays or the agencies and whoever is this? Case in point, I'm not in Hollywood. I'm not in New York City.
Right.
I'm just fine doing corporate jobs. I'll do it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I keep hearing from articles, blog posts, podcasts, like if you even think about joining this site or that site, you're blackballed. Nah. I read it from J. Michael this morning on one of his blogs. I'm like, wow, really? Now, you got me too blocked. I don't know what to do.
Mm. All right. Being the one of the two of us that's actually a professional voice actor, and having been on all the pay-to-plays at one time or another, all the major ones, if you're starting out and you're building your business, where else are you going to get auditions from, aside from doing all your own marketing, which you should be doing anyway? There's one particular pay-to-play that many of us have a major problem with. We won't mention any names. But I do know that the other major one just went through a new, they just redid their format. I heard some rumblings this morning about it. It's not exactly what they said it was. Then again, people have to get used to the platform and to see how well it works. I would say, you know, stick with one. And the one that you know is honest and is not acting as a middleman and taking your money and double dipping and managing the jobs, you want it to be a direct conduit between you and the client. So you do all the negotiating, and that's the most important thing.
Would you say it's good to have a platform that I think to reiterate, a platform that allows you direct communication
with the client,
not right. a platform who puts up a wall
right.
between the two of you, right?
Exactly.
That's a good way to maybe...
That's a good way to explain that.
Trim them out.
Yeah. Are they all bad? No. Are there ones that are good? There are some that are really do like and take care of their customers. I mean, they're not there as social service organizations. They're trying right. to make a buck as well.
Yeah.
But they also are very good at making sure that you're represented properly at their site. And, you know, do your homework, find out what people are saying. But if someone just poo-poos it all the way around, then they really don't know what they're talking about. I know there was a long thread on Facebook the other day, like who does stuff from their home studio? Well, like 95% of the people are doing it like 90% of the time.
Right.
Because someone had commented that those with home studios aren't doing real jobs. Well, they only insulted the entire freelance market out there.
Was said person from another country by chance?
No, said person was somebody in Hollywood.
Okay, yeah. Because I
somebody who only works in other studios and stuff like that.
I know in some other countries there's maybe there's a slower uptake of accepting professionally produced but home recorded stuff. Like they still my co-hosts on my podcast are from Australia. They said it's really they lag behind in the whole home studio thing. Looking at the home studios is still not totally pro,
right?
Which I found bizarre and fascinating.
When you consider some of your clients who are
yeah.
big time voice actors, like some of my clients are, they're making money. A lot of them making good money next to their yeah. pants and shoes and underwear.
Yeah, I was quite surprised about that.
Yeah, some people just have an attitude about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the good people in this business support each other.
So
aces, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay.
Keep up the great work.
All righty.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Well, there's a few more people in the room that haven't asked questions. Should we just do a last 2-minute
fly around
free for all?
Let's go around the horn here.
All right, I'm going to unmute everybody that's in there. I'm going to unmute your mic now. James, Jay, Charles, Melanie. Paul, here we go. So let's see. Unmute all. All participants are unmuted, even though it says they're muted. That's fascinating.
Oh. All
right. Who's in there? Paul.
Paul, we hear
James.
Paul.
Hello.
If you want to say hi, say hello.
Hello.
James, where are you, man?
I'm in New Jersey.
Jersey. Right on. Which exit?
Yeah, George, yeah, which exit?
I have never met Dan live in person. I have a processing question.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Go for
it. A mutual friend of ours is fond of, I'm doing a lot of audiobooks, and a mutual friend of ours is big on serial compression. And I'm using Neutron Advanced, Isotope Neutron Advanced with the Track Assist on it. And what it does is it puts compression in series.
Yeah.
But it seems to do some funky things. I was just wondering if you guys had an opinion on that.
Well, if you don't understand what it does, you may not want to use
it. Don't use it. Yeah.
Because it creates so many unpredictable, you know, there are many, many production tricks out there. And some of these tools are designed to condense a lot of tools into one thing, which is, sounds like this is one of those, where it allows you to have more than one compressor. And then I know there are other people that use multi-band compressors, which is like a really crazy compressor EQ hybrid.
Right.
I'll tell you, those tools, they're for somebody else. I use very traditional methods and get good results. And I personally don't use more than one compressor. I do use two compressors, actually. Let me correct myself. I use a compressor and I use a limiter.
Right.
So I'm using a compressor somewhere along the way and a limiter at the end. So if you want to say that's two compressors, that's the extent to which I would do it.
Yeah, no, but I'm using a limiter at the end to bring everything back up.
Okay.
Into spec.
Right. Yeah, right. But two compressors or more in a row. I've had one piece of gear that did that. I had this thing called the RNC, or the really nice compressor. That's what it was stood for. It was made by a company called FMR Audio. And internally inside the box, in the magic of the circuitry, it said it had two or maybe even three compressors. But the thing that I liked about it is you didn't know. It was right. Totally transparent. It still had a couple simple knobs. It didn't make it overcomplicated, and it sounded great. So anything that like this that has multiple compressors, it all comes down to how it's programmed and how it's designed and who develops the presets. If you plug these things in and it causes weird results, maybe just don't use it. I mean, it's for another reason, for another type of use,
right,
than what you're using it right. for. Yeah, you know, but I don't have personal experience with
yeah,
that tool.
Yeah, and I don't believe in a lot of heavy processing, especially not up front. That any processing that you can do, all your software can do it in post and do it non-destructively. Right. So, you know,
well, there's this running debate on the, especially like the ACX Facebook page about people not meeting spec and having their files kicked back, so they have to redo it and reprocess it and make sure that they're meeting spec, especially the RMS spec. A lot of people are trying to put it too high and make it hit that negative 3 dB top, which is just a target. It's not actually where it needs to be, but a lot of people are missing the RMS spec
because they don't understand it, and right. and ACX doesn't do a really good job of explaining how to do it.
They give you the what, but not the how. Right?
And
but
so,
that's what I do for a living, by the way.
Yeah, that's
you can send me your audio, and I will send you back a scheme, a process, a learning, a tutorial to take whatever it is that you use, your DAW, whatever it is. And a repeatable, easy-to-use system to learn how to master audiobooks to spec chapter by chapter using your own tools. I've done it on just about every DAW that's out there. And, you know, it's really understanding how to use the limiter and using the right limiter for the job. It's not that hard.
I mean, I love Reaper.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it with Reaper. But it's learning how to use the problem with Reaper is it's got too many dang tools. It's overwhelmed with huge amounts of options. It's insane. Every time I load it on somebody's system, which compressor, not that one. There's too many tools. It kind of overwhelms you with options.
I've stripped it down for voiceover, so it's, you know. 99% of that stuff you don't need.
No, yeah. It's totally true.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
And that's even before Waves has their sale and you buy everything in the cart.
Yeah. A bunch of freebies.
Set death by $29 plugins.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. You know, Eddie Fury. Who's that?
I do have the Apollo Twin Duo USB.
Yeah.
Which you highly recommended, George.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the videos that's floating around on YouTube is a way to use parallel compression for voiceover. It's the best I've ever sounded on that thing.
Oh, there now we're talking about a whole other thing, which is parallel compression. Yeah, that's different. Now that's mixing a flat signal with the compressed signal and combining the two to get a certain sound. Again, tools that are designed by engineers for engineers that know how to make these things work. I'm an engineer, but I've never learned or really made use of parallel compression. Doesn't mean it's not going to work for you. Maybe it sounds freaking amazing. I just know the ways I've been doing things work. It gets people ACX approved all the time, and I haven't made use of some of those things. Yeah. So,
And if you just want to record raw, you can. Everything that's in the Apollo can be used inside of your DAW as a VST plugin.
Absolutely. That is true. Every plugin can be used in post on that as well. So, a lot of options out there available to you guys.
Yeah. We've actually had somebody in our studio. Eddie Furia has been with us.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has a question.
Do you think he's got a question?
I don't think they've answered everything. Sorry.
We answered everything?
Yeah, everything. Wow.
Oh, man.
We're just good at what we do. All right. Who else is in the Zoom room? And then we gotta call it a night.
But... No, I think we can call it a night unless Tammy wants to say hi. That's the only one left that we... I don't think that we've heard from yet.
Unmute Tammy. Hi, Tammy. Tammy, say hi. No, she, come on.
There she is.
Okay.
Oh, I have her mic down. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tammy.
Does that help?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. How are you doing tonight? Yeah.
Mic came loose.
Thanks for joining us.
No, I didn't have a question. From? I was just taking notes on everybody else's questions, but I will definitely next time.
Well, it's great. Well, I mean, however you get something from the show tonight, whether you're just listening or participating, thanks for joining us tonight and being here live with us.
Thank you.
All righty. Who else is in there?
I think that's everybody. Through the list. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for your calls.
It's been fun.
It has been. And and again, we're going to change things up here starting January 7th. So stay tuned for, more details on that is over the next week or so. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to call it a night right after this.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
All right. Well, that was fun.
It was fun. I was really happy how that all worked out in the end, actually.
Yeah.
It worked out real smoothly.
Yeah, little crackles here and there, but it was great to see everybody in their home studio.
It was.
And asking those questions.
Yeah.
Next week on the show, you're going to be in Seattle.
I am going up to visit my kid, who lives up in the area, and I'll be staying with some friends. Actually, the friends I'm staying with, her husband is on the Windows development team.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get some questions.
Good internet.
About the audio side of Windows while I'm there. Yeah. But anyway, we're gonna do the show from the voiceover meetup that's up there at the Seattle Voiceover Academy.
All right.
So that's thanks to Shauna Pennington Baird, one of the contributors of the show. That was... That she's part of that. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
And then
it's holiday time.
Yes. Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve both fall on Monday this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're taking the rest of the year off after next week and preparing for our new format starting January 7th when Tara Strong is scheduled to be with us, and that'll be fun. She'll be right here in the studio, hopefully not with all her dogs or anything. And then on January 21st, Larry Davis, who's a funny guy. Larry Davis,
dude, is unbelievably talented. You've heard his voice in the past on our old bumpers we used to run on the show.
Yeah.
Super great guy.
Yes. We'd like to thank our donors of the week,
We've got donors. We've got donors.
We've got lots and lots of donors.
That tab in my browser somehow got closed, and now I don't have my donors loaded.
Okay.
So
well, you know who you are.
I'm going to pull them up before we end the show tonight.
Okay. All righty. Hey, show us your booths. This is not a booth. This is California right now. As I said, find a picture of palm trees and snow. That's California. After a couple of heavy rainstorms, it snows up in the mountains here, so we wanted to show that off. Send them in. Make sure they are in landscape, not portrait, and show us what your booth looks like. That's what we're here for. We want to see how you guys are doing it. If you want to work with George, how do they do that?
You head on over to georgethetech.com or georgethe.tech, and all my services are available for you right over there.
All right, and if you'd like to work with me, it's great having choices. Go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com and see all the fun stuff I do. And, of course, drop off your audio. For $25, I will analyze your audio in my specimen collection cup.
I do have to get a plug-in for a podcast that I'm actually appearing on as a guest.
Really?
Called the Go Get It podcast.
All right.
It's a new one that's a motivational one produced by Corey Disson. And it's kind of fun to be on his show because I met Corey before I even knew what voiceover was back in Philadelphia.
Wow.
He knew me from the way back days of like the late 90s.
Hmm.
So, so fun to be knowing that he's still in the voiceover world, doing a podcast and getting to be on his show. So go find the Go Get It podcast on iTunes and, all those podcast thingamajigs.
Right. All right. Hey, if you want to be in our studio like Eddie Furia is,
where's the
audience cam?
Does it still work? Do I have to reboot it?
Let's see here.
And his cute
there he is.
Son,
yeah,
and his cute sleeping
7-year-old son who's with us.
Look at him.
He got something for
so
us,
cute.
And we're greatly appreciative, Eddie. We really appreciate
you guys
that.
Deserve it.
All right, thank you.
I got the donors.
Oh, go for it.
I got, of course, Tracy H. Reynolds.
Okay.
Hey, Tracy. Going down the list here, Andrew Kaufman. And Christy Burns.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christy. Eric Aragoni, another lovely name of often
week
repeated.
After week.
Tracy H. Reynolds going back. And now I've already looped again. Have I looped that quickly? Yeah, I have. So, so many folks are doing little extra ways to support our show through our donations link on the website.
Right.
You can do a one-off or you can do a subscription for as little as a buck a month if you want.
We appreciate
it. It's really helpful.
All righty. Well, we need to thank our sponsors as well, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
And I was looking in the right spot. VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos.
And, of course, we need to thank the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the betterment of live webcasting. Our producer, Catherine Curridan.
Catherine.
She's been working really hard getting us together for 2019.
I know.
Jack Daniel for chat room duty tonight. And, of course, our amazing technical director, who was basically flawless
sharp as
tonight.
Attack.
Sue Merlino.
Following whatever we throw at her.
All righty. And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny.
Yep.
Where is Lee?
Have fun with those RC toys,
yeah.
Lee.
All right. Well, happy holidays, everybody. And we'll see you next week. George will be in Seattle. I'll be here. And we'll help you with your home voiceover studios here on VoiceOver Body Shop. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO BS.
Yes.
Have a great week, everybody.